truly been a tremendous blessing to be here this weekend. Been a great blessing for me and for my family. Sister Emily again did want to very, very much be here, and she thought of numerous ways she might could have done it that may have been a little bit against the doctor's orders. She wanted to come so badly, but she's certainly been praying for the services and loves you all very, very much and is very much missed being here and appreciates, again, the prayers of the church and the sweet expressions through the card and through those reaching out and notes and text and checking on her. She appreciates it very much. To express a little bit of my thanksgiving for the hospitality and the sweet love of the church, my mind this morning is on the book of Ruth, but there's a special scene toward the beginning of that book. Naomi has lost her husband. She's lost her two sons. Ruth and Orpah have lost their husbands. They've been in the land of Moab for 10 years. They've been away from the city of God. They've been away from Bethlehem, Judah. And this broken world has been very tough on them. And this broken world can be tough on all of us. The Lord made the earth and the world good and very good. But when Adam sinned, death came into the world by sin. Romans would tell us, for as by one man sin entered into the world and death by sin, so that death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. When Adam sinned, this world that had been made good and very good by the Lord, by his own precious hand, all of a sudden was polluted with sin, and death and sickness and sorrow came into the world. And we do live in a broken world where bad things happen. Naomi had had a lot of tragedy in her life. Can you imagine losing your husband and your two sons in a short order of time out in the land of Moab, this cold, dark world? But the day comes when Naomi comes, and I think we know the account. She's coming back to Bethlehem, Judah, and Ruth is with her. Ruth wants to be with her mother-in-law. She said, "Entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whether thou goest, I will go. Whether thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God." There's a very sweet scene where Naomi and Ruth come back into the place of Bethlehem, Judah. Bethlehem literally means the house of bread. Naomi had heard that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. And I'm going to tell you, where the Lord visits, wonderful things always happen. When the Lord visited those seven devils that were in Mary Magdalene, went out of her, and her life was never the same again, when Jesus visited. When Jesus visited that widow there in Nain that had already lost her husband, and now she had lost her only son, and she's severely mourning for him. When Jesus visited, her son was raised to life. Wonderful things happen when the Lord Jesus visits. She had heard that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread, and her and Ruth are coming back into the city. You know, the Lord has a city. And I love what it says in Psalms chapter 48. And I'll read those first few verses, so sweet and so touching, in Psalms chapter 48. It says, "Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God." God has a city, and in the mountain of his holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great King. God is known in her palaces for refuge. We see that great description of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, of that great city of God, where God is known in her palaces. Here Naomi and Ruth are coming back to the city. Bethlehem, Judah, the house of bread, where the Lord would feed his people. A great picture of the church of the Lord Jesus. What happens as they come? It says the whole city was moved about them. And I believe the city was moved about them in love. They were loving Naomi and loving Ruth as she came into the city, and they just swarmed about them in love and in grace and in tenderness and compassion. That's what I found in the church of the Lord Jesus. I hadn't always been an old Baptist. When I began to visit among the old Baptist people, the first thing that attracted me was not the doctrine. It was not the practice. I didn't believe in those at that time. But I'll tell you, when the city of God moved about me in love and compassion and mercy, and I felt the unconditional love of God for the people of God toward me, and my hearts were knit together with theirs in love, what a special time it is. I felt that here as the city of God has moved about me. And I felt the love of the Lord's people, the tenderness, the compassion, that love that comes only from the Lord. That's the only place it comes from. And I felt it here. Whether I was in homes of these dear saints and of your dear pastor and his precious family in the Cunningham's home. Whether I've been here in the city of God, in the church of the Lord Jesus, I felt that the city moved about. What a blessing it is. May we never lose that. How important it is for the city to move about in love and sweetness and mercy. They come back, and the Bible said it's in the beginning of the barley harvest. In Ruth, we have some sweet pictures of Boaz, who's going to be the kinsman redeemer, a picture of our Lord Jesus Christ, our husband. And Ruth, a great picture of us. I don't care if you're the biggest, strongest brother here. Ruth is a picture of you. Ruth's a picture of all of us as the bride, as the wife of the Lord Jesus Christ. She's a picture of us. Ruth comes into the city, and she's got nothing. She's poor. She's bankrupt. She's been in the land of Moab. She's now come into the city, into the house of bread, and she's got absolutely nothing. The Bible tells us in Ruth chapter 2, it already tells us that she has begun in verse 12, that she's trusted in the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Yes, she was in an old heathen nation, but she had come to trust in the God of Israel, and she was trusting in his care and in his refuge, and under his wings she had come to trust. Paints the picture of a mighty eagle that's going to take care of her young. And she was under the wings of God Almighty, and she was trusting in him for everything she needed. We're introduced to this great man named Boaz in Ruth chapter 2. It said, and Naomi had a kinsman of her husband, a mighty man of wealth. That's the first thing we hear about Boaz. He's a mighty man of wealth. He's mighty, he's strong, he's courageous, and he's rich. I'll tell you, our Lord Jesus Christ, that's our husband, one pictured here is Boaz, he is a mighty man. You know, we as old Baptists, we won't take somebody trying to preach a weak and puny Jesus. That's not our Jesus. That's not the true Jesus. Our Jesus is not in heaven
begging people to accept him and wringing his hands and worried because people won't do what he wants them to do. Our Lord is not weak. Our Lord is a mighty man. He's the captain of our salvation. He's the mighty conquering king. He's the one that fought the greatest battle against sin, Satan, hell, and death on the cross of Calvary, and he reigned victorious. I love what it says in Psalms chapter 24, as I believe is pictured there, where the Lord Jesus Christ has died on the cross of Calvary. He's won that great victory, and he's ascending into heaven. And the divine decree goes forth. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors. The King of glory is coming in. And I believe that's the divine decree. You open the doors of heaven for the mighty conquering King, the captain of our salvation. He's coming into heaven. What's he called? He's called the Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. He is the King of glory. I'll tell you, our Lord is a mighty man. He's a conquering king. He's a mighty captain of our salvation. May we never paint him in a way that's not a way of strength, that's not a way of might, that's not a way of power. That's the truth of who our Lord is. I'm going to tell you, Boaz is a mighty man. He's a mighty man of wealth. He's rich. I love what it says in Ephesians 1. It says, and speaking of the Lord Jesus, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. He's rich in grace. He's rich in mercy. He's rich in love. Romans chapter 9, it'll tell us, what if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, that he might make known the riches of his glory. He's not only rich in grace, he is rich in glory. That he might make the riches of his glory, he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy he hath afore prepared unto glory. He's rich. We know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though he was rich, yet for your sakes, he became poor, that we through his poverty might be made rich. We're introduced to Boaz, this mighty picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is a mighty man of wealth. Here's Ruth, trusting under the wings of Almighty God, trusting in his protection, trusting in his refuge, trusting in his strength. And Ruth knows she needs to have some sustenance. She goes to glean in a field. In that day, under the old Levitical law, they weren't to harvest the corners of the field, but they were to leave that for the poor, for the fatherless, for the widow. They harvested a field and they left some in the field. They weren't to go back and get it. They were to leave that for the poor, for the fatherless, for the widow. And the poor would go out and get it. You see, God Almighty set up a system, yet yes, the poor are going to be provided for, but they need to work to get it. I think we should follow that principle in our world today, to provide for the poor, for the fatherless, for the widow, but if they're able to work, they need to work to get it. Ruth's gone out into this field, and it said in verse 2 of Ruth 2, and Ruth the Moabite has said unto Naomi, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. And I believe Ruth, in trusting in God Almighty, under the shadow of his wings, she was seeking his guidance. Lord, lead me to the field after him in whose I'll find grace in his sight. Said her hap was to go light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz. I don't think this was coincidence, but I think as she was trusting in the Lord, I believe the Lord was leading her and guiding her. As Brother Lawrence prayed that good, humble prayer as we began services today, or the change in service to the preaching part of the service, he talked about the Lord leading us. And the Lord leads us even in 2021. We see his hand of providence leading those in the Old Testament, leading those in the New Testament. And I believe that same Lord that leads us today, our great shepherd and king, was leading Ruth even at this time. She goes to the field of Boaz. Just the field that God would take care of her in. She goes to the field of Boaz. And we began to see Boaz speaking. Look at what Boaz said. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem. The Lord Jesus was born in Bethlehem. Our mighty Boaz, our mighty husband. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, the Lord be with you. And they answered him, the Lord bless thee. You can tell a lot about a man not by how he treats those in authority over him, but how he treats those in authority under him. If I really want to see what a man's made in the courthouse and really know about his character, I don't look at the way he treats the judges. I look at the way he treats someone he may be supervising, or someone that may come in to help with the cleaning of our office. I look at how does he treat them. And that can tell you a lot about a man. How he treats those who he's seeking to lead. How does he treat them? Look how Boaz treated those that worked for him. He was kind to them. He loved them. He said, the Lord be with you. He wasn't afraid to talk about the Lord. He wasn't afraid to say, I pray the Lord will be with you that work for me. May we have those kind of leaders today. And if God has blessed us to be a leader in the place in which we work, or the place in which we go to school, or a place in the church, may the Lord bless us to have the attitude of Boaz, the loving attitude of showing courtesy and grace and love unto those he's seeking to lead. You can tell the people under Boaz, they love him. They love him. What did they say back? The Lord bless thee. They loved Boaz. You know, the best example of leadership in this world is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the ultimate leader. And one of the greatest marks of a leader has to be that the people that are following you know you love them, and you show them you love them. So much of the leadership in the world today is very tough, and it's ruling by fear. That's not the way the Lord Jesus leads. We see that beautifully exemplified in this man, Boaz. Boaz looks and he asks the reapers, he said, whose damsel is this? He's noticed Ruth, and he sees Ruth before Ruth sees him. And I'll tell you, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Boaz, our husband, our kinsman redeemer, he knew us before we knew him. And we wouldn't have known him if he didn't reveal himself to us. We love him because he first loved us. He's noticed Ruth. I believe it was love at first sight. He said, whose damsel is this? And he sees her there, and I believe he sets his affection upon her. They began to describe Ruth, how she had been in the field all the day. She continued even from the morning, even until now. And they began to tell Boaz what a hard worker Ruth is in his field. What a blessing to be workers in the kingdom of God. I'm going to tell you, there's been a lot of my life I've wasted time doing things of no value. But I've never regretted one effort I've spent in serving our Lord in His kingdom. I've never regretted any effort I put forth in worship or any effort I put forth in trying to serve my Lord in the kingdom of God, in the field of, in His field of labor. I've never regretted one second I've spent. I've regretted a lot of things in life. I've wasted a lot of time, but I'll tell you, I've never wasted any time in the Lord's field and working in His field, Boaz's field. Ruth's been there as a hard worker, diligently laboring in the field of Boaz. Boaz then begins to speak unto Ruth very tenderly, very lovingly. He said, "Hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens." He said, "Don't go in another field, Ruth. What you need is in my field, Ruth. You'll be taken care of. You'll find the sustenance that you need in my field, Ruth. Don't go anywhere else." Don't go anywhere else. She had seen what the land of Moab was. What she needed wasn't there. But she'll find what she needs in the field of Boaz. He said, "Let thine eyes be on the field they do reap." He said, not only don't go to another field, he said, don't even let your eyes be on another field. You know where our eyes go when they ought not to go and get us in a lot of trouble in this life. Now I'm going to tell you, your eyes can sometimes see things you don't need to see, and it's hard to get it out of your mind. We need to be careful what our eyes look at. He said, don't even let your eyes be on another field, but let your eyes be on my field. I love what it says in Philippians, whatsoever things are good, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things, look on those things. I'm reminded of a little song when I was a little boy that said, be careful. Little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. For the Father up above is looking down in love. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. May our eyes be on the goodness of God and not on the filthy things of this world. He said, let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go after the men that have I not charged the men that they shall not touch thee. And when thou art athirst, go unto the vessels. Drink of that which the young men have drawn. Then she fell on her face. She was overcome with the love and the kindness of this godly man, Boaz. She falls on her face before him and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, Why have I found grace in thine eyes? She felt so unworthy. She was from the heathen land of Moab. It was a cursed people. It was a heathen people. It was a false god people. She thought, I'm so unworthy of your affection and your kindness and your love, Boaz. Why have I found grace in thy sight? Is that not the heart cry of us as little Ruth here this morning? Brother David preached to us, when I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained. What is man? What am I that you're mindful of me? Lord, why would you love me? Lord, I'm a guilty, bankrupt, ruined, undone sinner. Lord, why would you love me? But our Boaz, our kinsman redeemer, our loving Savior, our loving husband, has bestowed grace upon us that we do not deserve. Praise God. Praise God. Why have I found grace in thine eyes, seeing thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I'm a stranger? He continues to speak very sweetly to her. He goes on to tell her in verse 12, "The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou come to trust." How'd Boaz know that? You see, not only did Naomi have the trust in the Lord for her heart, but it was showing out in her actions. You know, one of the first things people ought to be able to tell of us is we trust in Almighty God. They should be able to tell that by the way we live our lives, that we're trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, that we are seeking to follow Him in our life. That's the most important thing about us, and other people ought to be able to see it in the way we live our lives. The world wants us to keep that a secret. The world wants us to closet up our faith and keep it in a corner and not talk about it. I'll tell you, the Lord wants others to know that we serve Him. He knew she was living it out that she had come to trust in the Lord God of Israel. She then says in verse 13, "Then she said, let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, for thou hast comforted me." You think Naomi needed comfort? She had lost her husband. She had lost her brother-in-law. She had lost her father-in-law in a short period of time. She had left the land she was familiar with. You think she needed some comfort? You bet she did. Do we need comfort? You bet we do. I love what the Lord Jesus Christ tells His disciples in John chapter 14. He's telling them He's going to go away, but He gives them a sweet promise. He said, "I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you." You know He does. He comes to us when we need Him most. He comes to us in the greatest trials and the greatest valleys and the greatest trials and tribulations of our life, and He comes to us and blesses us to feel the touch of His gentle hand. He comforts us. Our mighty Boaz. He speaks comfortably here to Ruth. "Thou hast comforted me, for thou hast spoken friendly unto thy handmaid, though I be not like unto one of thine handmaids." Look at the humility of Ruth. She feels so unworthy. She said, kind of like the Apostle Paul said, "I'm the least of all saints. I'm not like one of your maids. I'm so much beneath them." And she's overcome with the kindness of Boaz. I love this in verse 14. It said, "Boaz said unto her at mealtime, come thou hither." He said, "You come to me for what you need, and eat of the bread, and drip thy morsel in the vinegar." And she sat beside the reapers, and listen, he reached her parched corn. Who's he? Boaz. Boaz fed her from his own hand. You know, every time we're blessed to hear a gospel sermon as blessed by the power of the Holy Spirit of God from on high, you're not getting it from the hand of the preacher. You're getting it from the hand of our Boaz. Not a man in this world could preach the gospel if God Almighty had not given him the food that needs to be handed out to His people. You know, when Jesus fed the 5,000 men, not counting women and children, who did the miracle? They had 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. And the Lord Jesus broke it and He blessed it and He multiplied it. The Lord Jesus did the miracle. But the disciples were blessed to hand it out. But they didn't do the miracle. The miracle came from the Lord. And I'll tell you, gospel ministers are blessed to hand out the food. But I'll tell you, it originally comes from the hand of Boaz. What a blessing when the Lord feeds us in His field and in His church. And He knows just what we need. He tells His men, said she did eat and was sufficed and left. When Ruth ate of the food that came from Boaz's hand, when she ate of Boaz's food, she was sufficed. She was satisfied. I'm going to tell you, the things of this world will not satisfy a little child of God. The food of this world will not satisfy a child of God. I'm going to tell you, the world will leave us empty. You don't have to second guess. You just open a bag of potato chips and see that it's half empty before you've eaten one of them, and that's a good picture of the emptiness of the world. But I'll tell you, the Lord's not in the business of empty. The Lord's in the business of filling. He fills us with His Spirit. He fills us with His love. He's Christ in us, the hope of glory. Our Lord satisfies, and He's able to give us the food that we need as little children of God in His house. And it's the only food that will satisfy a little child of God. Don't go out into the world. The world will leave you empty. When Naomi came back, and she didn't have the right attitude, because she said, the Lord's dealt very bitterly with me. The Lord didn't deal very bitterly with Naomi. But she had the wrong attitude. She had been overcome by these trials and tribulations, and she began to blame this broken world on God. And that's always wrong thinking. She said, the Lord had dealt very bitterly with me. Don't call me Naomi, which means pleasant, but call me Mara, which means bitter. But she does give one truth as she's coming back into the city. She got that wrong. But she said, I went out full. When I left the house of bread, when I left the city of God, I went out full. But the Lord hath brought me home empty. The world left her empty. But what she got right was the Lord brought her home. Isn't it sweet when somebody's been out in the land of Moab and the Lord brings them back home? Isn't that not a sweet time? The Lord always fills us. She comes home with an abundance of the harvest. She comes home, the Bible says, that she came home. She had about an ephah of barley. She had 5.5 gallons of barley. How do you get that much gleaning? Here's how. Because Boaz had commanded his young men, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves, and rebuke her not. The sheaves were the bundles of the harvest. Wasn't the gleanings. But he said, you let Ruth glean even among the sheaves, even among the abundance and the bounty of the harvest, and rebuke her not. And he also said this, and let fall some of the handfuls of purpose for her. He said, as you're harvesting, you let some of the grain that you're harvesting, you let it fall, and that grain is specifically for Ruth. You give handfuls of purpose for her. Isn't that sweet how individually the Lord blesses us? You know, as we worship Him in the house of God today, there's a very congregational thing about how we're worshiping Him this morning. We come together as a congregation to worship Him. We worship Him together, and our love flows from breast to breast together. But I want to tell you, there's also a very individual thing about our worship here this morning. Remember what the Lord says in the book of Revelation. He's knocking on the church door of Laodicea. He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. He's not knocking on the sinner's heart, but he's knocking on the church door. And he said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man," by that he means if any man, if any woman, if any boy, if any girl, "if any man will come and open unto me, I'll come into him and sup with him, he with me." In the worship service of the saints, though it's a very congregational thing, I'll tell you, yet our King Boaz, as we open the door unto him, he comes in and he sups, he eats and drinks just with us. We with him. You know, when we eat with somebody privately, just us and that other person, your attention is totally devoted to them. And the Lord, as we worship him, he can pay attention to all of us collectively. He can also come and does to us individually and sup with us individually as we worship him. What a blessing. The Lord can remind us of that. Have you ever been praying about something all week, and maybe you got a question in your mind about this in the scriptures, and when you get to the house of God, that's the very thing that the preacher's preaching on? That's happened in my family many, many times. We're driving home from the church house, and they'll say, "That's the exact thing I've been thinking on." And I'm talking about when a man other than me is preaching, that's not been listening to the family conversation that week. That's the exact question I had on my mind. And the man of God, the servant of God, preached just what I had on my mind. That's the Lord leaving some handfuls of purpose just individually for you. When we have had a song on our hearts all week, and the words of that song have meant so much to us, and we've gone throughout that week, and we can't wait to get to the house of God to call on a particular song. And before we can even call on it, another dear saint of God has called on that same song. What's the Lord telling you? The Lord's leaving some handfuls of purpose just for you, saying, "I love you, I care about you, and I'm going to feed you with just what you need. This is just for you, my little child, my bride, my little Ruth. This is just for you." What a blessing that is. And he gives us that as his little ruse. No, I've got to hurry. Naomi's attitude changes. She's been thinking, "The Lord has dealt very bitterly with me." But her attitude changes. Now, Ruth comes home with that great abundance of the harvest she's been blessed to have in the field of the mighty man of wealth, the field of Boaz. When Naomi sees the abundance and she finds out that she's gleaned in the field of Boaz, who is a near kinsman redeemer, her attitude totally changes. When she sees the kindness and the mercy and the grace of Boaz, here's what she says in verse 20 of Ruth 2. "And Naomi said unto her daughter, Blessed be he of the Lord who hath not left off his kindness." Before she was saying, "The Lord had dealt very bitterly with me." But now she's saying, "The Lord's not left off his kindness. He's being good to us." And she's singing the song we like to sing basically. "The Lord has been so good to me." What changed her attitude? She saw the love. She saw the abundance of the harvest of Boaz. And I'm going to tell you, if we begin to feel sorry for ourselves, if we ever begin to think the Lord had dealt very bitterly with us in that wrong thinking, we just need to look at the blessings of our Boaz, the Lord Jesus Christ, and all the abundance of the harvest and the riches and the blessings that he's given us to. And I'll tell you, it'll change your attitude. We'll go from saying the Lord had dealt very bitterly with me to saying the Lord's not left off his kindness. The Lord has been so good to me. It can change our attitude. Beginning of chapter 3, Naomi says, "Shall I not seek rest for thee that it may be well with thee?" She said earlier, She said, you're going to find rest one day, Ruth. It's going to be in the house of your husband. And that's going to happen. She goes and she makes it very plain to Boaz. I don't have time to get into all the details. But she sees where Boaz is and she marks the place. And she goes to him. And Boaz is going to take Ruth as his wife. There's some legal work that has to be done. Naomi tells Ruth, he said, the man's not going to rest till it be done this day. Boaz is saying, I love you, Ruth, and I'm going to protect you. I'm going to spread my skirt over you, which means he's going to protect her. He's going to marry her. He's going to provide for her. He's going to give her everything she needs as her husband. And Naomi says, the man's told you. He's given you a promise that he's going to redeem you, that he's going to purchase you, that he's going to marry you, and he's not going to rest till it's done. You know what the name Boaz means? Means fleetness. Fleetness. I'm going to tell you, Boaz is quick. You know how quick he gets the job done? The same day. The same day. You know how quick the Lord Jesus got the job done? 6 hours on the cross of Calvary. He's our Boaz. He's a mighty man of wealth, and he's fleetness. He got the job done. Men had been offering sacrifice after sacrifice for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years that never took away one sin. But what man could not do in hundreds and hundreds, even thousands of years, the Lord Jesus Christ, our mighty Boaz, in 6 hours upon the cross of Calvary, he got the job done. It is finished. And the work of redemption was complete. He washed away our sins on that cross of Calvary. But not only that, I'll tell you, on that cross of Calvary, he purchased a bride. He did the legal work that we would be the bride of our Boaz, the bride of the King of glory. What a blessing. We see such a wonderful example of grace. He takes her to his home. They bear a son whose name is Obed, who's the father of Jesse, the father of David. Hear this, Moabitess from a heathen land is the great grandmother of the most mighty king Israel ever had, but the Lord Jesus. That's grace. That's grace. He takes her to his home. I'll tell you, one sweet day, the same Lord, our same Boaz, our same mighty man of valor, our mighty man of wealth, our husband, our redeemer, he's coming back to get everything he paid for. One sweet day, he's coming with the voice of the archangel. He's coming with the trump of God. And I'll tell you, every bit of the bride of Christ, his invisible bride, will be raised up. And we will meet our Lord, our Boaz, our kinsman redeemer, our shepherd and our friend. We're going to meet him in the air. He's going to take us home to be with him forever in heaven in immortal glory. What a blessing. Almighty Boaz. Till that time, let's glean in his field. Let our eyes be on his field and not on another. May we never question that when we feed in the field of Boaz, we'll leave full. He'll give us everything that we need. May God richly bless you, is my prayer.